Hallelujah.
While I was coming in, I was so touched and broken. I saw such a crowd of people outside. I know it's not yet night, so probably the visuals are not very clear. But please, those of us inside, I'd like us to honor all those who are standing or sitting outside. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Like Reverend Dan said, by the grace of God, have tonight, have tomorrow morning, and then the evening. I'm told that there is a curfew, so we'll do justice to make sure we don't stay too late. But I trust that the time we'll have, the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. I believe that we have come to be changed. Bible says they go from strength to strength, as many as appear before the Lord in Zion. In 1 minute, can you lift your voice and passionately cry to the God of heaven? Give me an encounter tonight. In the name of Jesus, give me an encounter tonight. Pray in the spirit, cry in the spirit. Shalata prata gata balakote. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my ears that I may hear. Set me on fire for your kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, I want you to listen carefully before you sit down. In every meeting, I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me? Those outside, can they hear me? If you can hear me, shout hallelujah. Amen. In every meeting, there are usually two categories of people. Number one, there are those who come their hearts desperate and open and meek before the Lord, expecting to genuinely receive and to be transformed. This is the first category. Then the second category usually are people who are either distracted and are not interested at all about growth, or perhaps through pride, they may not open themselves for more than they already know or they already have. Prophetic encounters like this shift us regardless of your current level. Even in heaven, he was told, come up hither. So there are still dimensions and there are still realms. You're going to pray one more time. Lord, for the sake of your glory and for the sake of my destiny, take away pride, open my eyes, lift me to deeper dimensions. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Alabakatos, Sada Balakatos, Embratus, Seleshanandas, Kadabalakos, Shebretisikete Beledebus, Shiandas, Kamanda, Shalaparus, Sedebeleke Pahan. Help us, O God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you to help us in this conference. We have come because we love you. We have come because we believe in you. We have come because our hearts are open to grow. We have come to learn. Show us your way. Let our eyes be open. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you again for the honor. Thank you for the reception. Let's go straight to the business of tonight. I've been burdened again over the body of Christ, and as God grants me grace to travel around preaching the gospel, I have been concerned at the level and the quality of our spiritual understanding, the level and the quality of our comprehension of the kingdom and the ways of God. And this has been a burden in my heart that seeks to help clarify the ways of God and bring believers across regions into greater levels of spiritual stability. The idea is that the average believer represented in a territory must know God in a way that is intentional, in a way that is balanced, in a way that is provable, and a way that is profitable. Hallelujah. Our spiritual advocacy must be such that it's true, and then we are able to prove it across our environment, that we not only profess that we are Christians, but that our lives and eventually our results should show that there is excellency in knowing the Lord and in the pursuit of divine things. Are we together? So I'll be taking a teaching tonight and then tomorrow that is meant for the body of Christ. I believe this is not just for Abakaliki, but it extends to the east of the Niger and then the body of Christ also. The apostolic and the prophetic office is mandated with the assignment of bringing spiritual understanding to the body of believers, to the end that we be established, to the end that we understand the things of God more accurately. Acts chapter 18, the Bible talks about a man called Apollos. The Bible says he was a mighty man in scripture. He was fervent in spirit. You can see the qualifications of such a man. I think we should go there. Let's start our discourse tonight from that scripture. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 from verse 24. Okay, beautiful. We have it projected. So give it to us from verse 24 to the last verse. Acts 18, 24. It says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. The Bible calls him, now watch the qualification of this man. Number one, he was an eloquent man. Number two, he was mighty in the scripture. Number three, the Bible says he came to Ephesus. Next verse, we're reading to 28, the last verse. Please help us, the media team. The Bible says this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, meaning he submitted himself to mentorship. This was not a rebellious man. Such a classic qualification. The kind that we seek for as ministers, the kind that we seek for as believers. The Bible says he was fervent in spirit. The Bible also said he spake and he taught accurately the things of the Lord. But there was a problem. Although, I wish we just have pure King James. It says, although he knew only the baptism of John. Now, you can imagine this kind of tragedy. Look at such a qualification. Fervent in spirit, accurate in doctrine, submitting to mentorship. What more do you want from such a man? That's the kind of man you want to walk under you as a man of God. That's the kind of man you want to marry as a lady. That's the kind of man you want to set up as a leader. The Bible says there was a problem. He knew only the baptism of John. If all your life you read only the books of this man, you will only know about the baptism of John. Whereas there were greater horizons in the spirit. Next verse. One day, verse 26, the Bible says he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And then one day he was in a conference like this. And there were two strange people in that conference also, called Aquila and Priscilla. The Bible says when they heard this man, who although fervent in spirit, accurate in scripture, submitted to mentorship, the Bible says when they heard him, after he was done preaching with compassion, the Bible says they took him unto themselves and expounded unto him the way of God more perfect. Be careful what you call the zenith of your Christian experience. Be careful, just because it produced signs and wonders, just because you have been teaching it in a long time, just because you were accurately mentored, there is one thing greater than the truth. It's called the whole truth. There is truth that can produce results, but there is the whole truth. A larger body of God's counsel. And so when God creates such a convergence like this, it is that in addition to that which we know, in addition to that which we have learned, in addition to that which we have experienced, that God now begins to supply other virgin dimensions that are not yet captured in our Christian experience. Are we together? So that you leave this conference like the other version of Apollos, now equipped with a greater sense of spiritual understanding. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul was mentoring the church in Colossae, and he defined for us the boundaries of our spiritual knowledge. He was praying for the church in Colossae, and he bowed his knees to God. Do we still have it projected? Colossians 1 verse 9. Someone help them if you need to help them. Yeah? Let's just walk together in Jesus' name. Colossians 1 verse 9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. What is the content of the prayer? And to desire that ye might be filled with, number one, the knowledge of his will. Number two, all wisdom. That means wisdom is dimensional. You can have some, but he wants you to be filled with all wisdom. And then number three, spiritual understanding. Are we still together? The assignment of the God of this world is not just to afflict you. It's not just to cause sickness. Listen carefully. It's not just to cause retrogression and to cause pain. The primary assignment of the God of this world is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. The primary assignment, Ephesians 4 and verse 18. Let me quote it very quickly because of time. The Bible says, having their understanding darkened, it says, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart or their mind. The primary assignment of the devil is not just to afflict. It is to bring us to a point where our spiritual understanding is deadened and darkened. Because in the absence of light and genuine spiritual illumination, the dominion of darkness thrives. There are a class of demons called rulers of darkness. Their dominion exists everywhere there is no light. Are we still together? So the Lord is bringing us to a point where it will increase our understanding spiritually. More than miracles, more than signs and wonders, more than breakthroughs, the primary assignment of conferences like this is spiritual illumination. You have to understand this. If all that happens here, and it will happen, are miracles, signs, healings, deliverances, breakthroughs, that is wonderful. But if you still return in spiritual bankruptcy and darkness, the spirits only left you to return again, because the strength of evil is darkness. John 1 verse 5 says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let this be a challenge to ministers of the gospel here scattered, the veterans of the gospel in this city, and then as many who are outside. I know that many of you are leaders over groups, prayer ministries, churches, apostolic and prophetic platforms. Is consistent with what God is doing all across the globe. You must know that your primary assignment is to be a conduit, a spiritual conduit that supplies spiritual enlightenment to God's people. Are we together? The absence of light is a catastrophic scenario, because it strengthens darkness. And then the absence of insufficient or light that is not sufficient enough. If it's night here and we say power is off here, if you have the light of your phone, it is light, but not light enough to turn this place, to give the kind of illumination. So you need a high superior dimension of spiritual illumination in order to reign. Are we still together? Praise the name of the Lord. So our assignment tonight, the morning and the evening, is that in the midst of all the things that the Holy Spirit is going to be doing, you must trust and expect that there will be an encounter. This is a feast of light that opens you up to higher and more superior dimensions of spiritual understanding. On the strength of that understanding, you can go back and do exploits for the kingdom. Here's how the Bible puts it. Daniel 11 and verse 32, it says, but the people that do know. So it starts with knowledge. The people that do know they are God. Not another person's God. Not a preacher's God. Not a pastor's God. Not just an apostle's God. You may start as the God of another, but he must become your God. The people that do know their God. So it starts with knowledge. Number two, they shall be transformation. So knowledge, please follow the sequence. This is the protocol of growth in the spirit. It starts with access to light, illumination. The people that do know, then they shall be, then they shall do. This is how it works in the kingdom. Please listen carefully. The people that do know, it starts with knowledge, eradicating ignorance. Then, if it is light indeed, you must become as many as believed him. Even unto them who believed in his name, he gave them power to become. Power to become. The Bible says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding him as in a mirror, we are changed. More than enlightenment is transformation. Please pay attention, everyone. Pay attention. The beauty and the power of knowledge is its ability to make you become. Becoming is more powerful than doing. Doing becomes a natural thing when you have become. Attempting to do without becoming will frustrate you. So the people that do know, they will become, then they will do. Knowledge, transformation, then you do. This is how you become a model and a reference to a spiritual reality. You want to be an advocate of a dimension of God, it starts with knowledge, sufficient knowledge, then transformation, then exploits, on the strength of that result, your life now becomes a model for many people to be able to capture that dimension of God. They can follow the protocol. The Bible says, look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah that body, because I called him. Are we together? I blessed him and I increased him. So it started with light, then transformation, then exploits. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. I'm just preparing our hearts. I've not even started the message yet. But wherever we stop tonight, we'll just share the grace and then we'll go. I choose the way of the Lord. There are many ways, but I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. Sing it one more time with understanding. That I choose the way of the Lord. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. That means you can follow a path believing you are right, and after so many years you will discover that you have been wasting your time. There is a revelation of God called Jesus the Way, the methodology of the kingdom. Jesus the Way. When you follow that way, it leads you to a body of light, truth, and then you come into reality, life. I am the way that leads you to the truth, more than an information. Then it brings you to light. So are we ready for tonight? I will build my church, part one. I will build my church, part one. I'm teaching a message that I believe is for the body of Christ, is very timely, and will give us accuracy as far as driving the purposes of God is concerned this end time. It is a message that is applicable to all and sundry, but then more particularly for ministers of the gospel, those who head any and all kinds of ministerial platforms. It is important that God restores us to a place of accuracy, divine patterns, and genuine results, to the end that the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God be revealed again. The Bible says to the intent, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, to the intent, this mystery, Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 began to teach from verse 3. He said, how by revelation he made known unto me this mystery. A body of spiritual truth was given to Paul for the sake of the church. And the goal is that by the time we get to verse 10, he says the communication of this mystery is to this intent, that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the ecclesia, the manifold, many-sided, multifaceted wisdom of God. This is what he called the hidden wisdom of God, that if the princes had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Howbeit, he says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, neither has it come into the heart of any man, the Bible declares, the things that God has prepared in store for them that love him. And that it is by the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we are able to know these things as we compare spiritual things with spiritual. I will build my church. Matthew 16. Jesus spent, theologically speaking, Jesus spent a major part of his life. Now, you have to learn, we'll start from verse 13, Matthew 16 from verse 13. but just by way of placing a foundation to this. Now, notice the way Jesus built those who would later become the apostles of the Lamb. From the time he had the encounter in Matthew chapter 4, please don't go there. The Bible says how that when he was baptized, you see, theologically speaking, from age 12, the Bible does not talk about Jesus again. The next time we hear scripture talking about Jesus is a 30-year-old young man. For 18 years, we do not know exactly what happens. There are all kinds of theological debates as to what happened within those 18 years. But one thing we know is that from age 12, we see Jesus learning under scribes and Pharisees, building himself for the assignment that was in front of him. Are we still together? At age 30, we now see that there is a man called John. The Bible calls him a witness. He was identified in his generation as a prophet. Our generation calls him the Baptist. But John was not a Baptist. Baptism was only a strategy given to him to identify the Christ. John was a prophet, coming in the spirit and the power of Elias, the one we call Elijah. Are we still together? So the Bible says there was this man who was baptizing in Jordan. And then he saw this 30-year-old man and looks at him by the spirit and says, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." Are we together now? A lot of drama happened there. And then when he dipped Jesus in water and he came out, your Bible declares that the heavens were open. Is that true? And he saw the Holy Ghost descending upon him in bodily form, in the similitude of a dove. And there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And creation was mandated to hear him. And then the Bible now says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He prayed and fasted for 40 days and was thereafter tempted of the devil. You find that in Matthew chapter 4. The moment Jesus was done with all of that, scripture declares that he now returned in the power of the Spirit. And there began his ministry that would span for the next 3.5 years. Are we together now? And you would notice that having called all the disciples, some of them were the disciples of John, some of them were brothers like James and John. Are we together now? Others were businessmen, others were politicians, members of parliament. There was a mix of all kinds of people. And his mentorship system would begin. From Matthew chapter 5, he began what we call, theologically speaking, the Beatitudes, exhorting them and giving them a new orientation about the way the kingdom of heaven functioned. Are we together? Because until then, they had been under the reign of the Roman government. And so they were not accustomed. You need to understand that before the gospel started, from Malachi to Matthew, theologically speaking, there was a time period of at least 400 years. It was a dark period in the church age. No prophet, nobody heard from God, no mention of Holy Ghost, no mention of anything kingdom. So by the time Jesus is showing up, there's a backlog of about 400 years of not hearing any prophet leading people to Jesus, no spiritual advocacy as far as kingdom come was concerned. So the people were not necessarily, they just knew historically by studying from the rabbis and all the scribes and the Pharisees that there were norms, there were tenets that were given to them, customs of the law. Now Jesus was introducing something very new. He began to teach them what we call the Beatitudes, the matters of the kingdom. Are we still together? Everything he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they, you see, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit it. And then he began to teach them, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth. He started mentoring them more specifically on the things that would make them now become citizens of this kingdom. By the time we get to Matthew 16, they had gone a long journey with him. Please give it to us now. Matthew 16 and verse 13. This leads to the foundation for my teaching, which will be the series all through this conference. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples a very interesting question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now listen, this discourse will eventually lead to the first mention of the word church
It started as a revelation of Jesus. Who do men say that I am? By the time this discourse is going on, there was trouble all over Rome. Some people wondered, could this be one of the old prophets who had reincarnated? There were all kinds of debates as to whether he was a prophet, he was the Messiah prophesied about, and even the disciples themselves were confused. And so he was about to end that confusion. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The Bible says some said, thou art John the Baptist. Some said, you are Elijah. Some said, you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Next question. 15. And he said unto them, but you have walked with me. Leave those to rumors. You ate with me. We went for crusades together. What is your verdict about my person? Forget about what you've heard people say. That means just because you are close to the word does not mean you know what you are doing. They were walking with him for a long time. And here he was asking them, who am I? And he was shocked that none of them had the answer. 16. But Peter, speaking by the Spirit, answered and said, thou art Christ. One of the synoptics will say, I know who thou art. Thou art Christ. Notice he never called him Jesus here. Jesus was an earthly name that they gave him. His name was and always is the Word of God. John 1:1, Revelation 19. The rider upon the horse, having a name that was written on his thigh. The name is the Word of God. The Logos, the thoughts of the Father. Are we together? Now he says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Pay attention. Next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood. That means this does not reside in the realm of flesh and blood. Has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Here comes the statement. Next verse. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what rock? This revelation and this strategy, I will build my church. The builder of the church is speaking now. I am about to reveal something to creation that has not been seen. I am inventing a strategy. The only strategy that sustains the power to dislodge darkness. Not just a building, not just a people, a divine strategy. I will build my church, and if allowed to build it, it will be so formidable that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means if the gates of hell prevails over the church, someone is tampering with the architecture. Because the builder said, if you allow me to build, it will be so formidable that it will be impossible for the gates of hell to prevail. Sit down. I will build my church. Jesus himself brought the idea of the church, that he desired to build a strategy, a spiritual entity on earth that becomes a representation of his possibilities, his powers, the extension of all that he is. The Bible talks about his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. The builder of the church, Jesus Christ. Please pay attention. Now, when we study the entire landscape of the church as the universal church across the globe, then across Africa, then more particularly across Nigeria, we will have to come to a point where we must admit that something is wrong with the template of the construction of the church as we know. It is still the bride of Christ, but in truth is a wounded bride that needs help. Are we together now? a wounded bride that needs help. Something is wrong. The ease with which darkness prevails over the church, the ease, the flawless victory of darkness over the church can be traced, the spiritual diagnosis, according to Jesus' own communication, is that every time you see darkness prevailing over a people, go and check the construction of that church. Because every time it is built according to pattern, the glory of God comes as an attestation that the building was built according to pattern. Are we blessed? This is not a call to throw stones at people. No. This is an apostolic conference. It is an X-ray of the global church, the African church, the Nigerian church, and the church within your region. We are going to X-ray it from the lens of Scripture, from the lens of the Spirit, and now begin to detect the defects in that construction. Because notice, the horns that lift themselves against Judah, against Israel, and against Jerusalem, the cure for the thorns is the introduction of carpenters. He says, I have sent carpenters. A carpenter can fix and refix again. Are we blessed? So we are going to examine, like a patient passing through an X-ray, and see, where did we miss it? How come we speak and it does not come to pass? How come the average believer within the territory has not been able to be matured enough? What is wrong with the quality of believers that come out of our mentorship, come out of our assemblies? Now remember, like the dear lady, that wonderful lady who sang, it was such a beautiful rendition, that the foundation for exploring spiritual things must be love. Every time you attempt to teach apostolically and prophetically, if love is absent, your message will always be misunderstood and it will not carry the context that will make for transformation, no matter how accurate what you are saying is. So the idea is not to come and tear down men of God and make it look as if nobody is doing anything. No, there are real people in this city. There are people who love God and fear God and serve God, laboring day and night. So I have not come to outshine, to insult, to tear down. I have come in addition to lift up the hands of the vessels, the lampstands within the city, so that we will shine brighter, to the end that as a corporate body, we come into the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. Please sit down.
All love, more power, more of you in my life. All love, more power, more of you in my life.
It is true that there is something wrong with the current template of what we know to be the church. Why? Because the gates of hell does not seem threatened by the presence of the church. Are we together now? And it is not the fault of any one person. We must receive it as a fault of all of us corporately. It's not just the fault of men of God. It's not just the fault of members. It's not just the fault of government. Together, we must... Part of the indices that measure maturity is the ability to take responsibility. Until we are willing to admit that all of us have contributed in ways both great and small to produce what we now regret. If my people, the Bible declares, which are called by my name, first mandate, humble yourself, then pray, then seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. The Bible says, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. Are we still together? The church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. In truth, there are many challenges with the body of Christ. I've done several teachings around it, and tonight I may not want to go into that detail since this is a general session. But there are three main challenges with the body of Christ. Universal, the body of Christ. Africa, the body of Christ. Nigeria, the body of Christ within your region. First is the prevalence of error. The error that comes as a result of apostasy. Apostasy is a deviation of divine patterns. Listen carefully. Having established the fact that we are communicators of this truth in love, we must communicate the truth, even though in love. Apostasy is a deviation of divine patterns. The Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, listen carefully, and that they shall give heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons. Seducing spirits operate by a psychological act called seduction. You know what seduction is? Seduction is using your desire to bait you. That was the first way Satan tried to tempt Jesus. If you are hungry, the temptation will be around food. So, the Bible puts it this way: no weapon fashioned against you. Weapons don't just come, they are fashioned. And to fashion a weapon means they study you. Satan will have to study what you know and what you do not know. He will have to study your needs and your desperate needs. Then create a temptation around that need. That's how spiritual weapons are built. Weapons don't just come, they are fashioned. If you need increase in membership, the temptation will come around that increase, because there is something connecting to you. Satan kept coming to Jesus to find out what was his weakness so he could tempt him. Jesus said, Satan cometh to me, but could not find anything. Are we blessed? Take note of all the truths that the Holy Ghost is going to be revealing to us, even as we are following this path tonight. Apostasy, a deviation of God's patterns. The first revelation of God as a God of patterns was found in the offering of Cain and Abel. Are we still together? Yes. The Bible says in a matter of time there were two brothers, one called Cain, one called Abel, that both of them were going to make offerings unto God. And then the Bible declares that Cain made an offering that would not ascend to the heavens. Abel now made an offering that reached the heavens. And in anger, Cain went to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him, paraphrasing, and said, no, if you have done well, will I not accept it? He says, but if you have not done well, sin lies at your door. That was the first revelation of God as a God of patterns. The Bible declares to serve God acceptably. When it has to do with serving God, you don't invent your formula. There is already a prescribed path. Jeremiah 6:16 says, you stand in the way, that old way, that old path. And he says to us, wherein is that way, the good way? When you find it, he says, walk therein and you will find rest for your souls. But the people will say, we will not. Jeremiah 6:16, not 16:6. Media, help us. 6:16. I think you made a mistake. Jeremiah chapter 6 and 16. Thank you. And then they will say, we will not walk in it. Rebellion. Apostasy. There are two dimensions of apostasy. One is a complete, you are not even interested in the things of God in the beginning. Now, it is a very uncomfortable truth, but we have to admit that there are people who are sincerely not of God. We are not talking of backsliding. We are not talking of error. We are talking of complete. We are not of God from the beginning. But there are very few of those, surprisingly. Most of the people, including those in error, are sincere people who are just, the doctrines that they communicate are not accurate and are not according to spiritual patterns. The Bible calls them the doctrines of demons. So that you are communicating doctrine is not enough. We must be able to search the origin of that doctrine. This is where the gift of discernment becomes handy. The Bible says strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, who by reason of use have learned to exercise their spiritual senses to discern. Discernment is one of the highest indices that show maturity in the spirit. The faculty of perception, the ability to be able to trace the origin of the spirits that sponsor any spiritual process, is called discernment. Are we still together this night? So we're establishing what is wrong with the body of Christ. Number one, apostasy. Number two, the second challenge largely with the body of Christ is the error of indifference. What we call I don't care attitude, which is an extension of selfishness. Please pay attention. Indifference. That was the mistake that Esther wanted to make, that Mordecai corrected her. There was a plot by Haman to annihilate the Jews, but because Esther was in a safe place in the palace, she did not seem interested in what would happen to the people, and Mordecai gave her a warning. He says, don't you think if you keep silent over our issues, by the time they finish us, they will still find out you are a Jew. Selfishness. It doesn't matter what is happening in the body of Christ, provided I am doing well, provided I am growing well, to hell with the body. The error of indifference. Once I am excelling as an individual, it does not matter whether the body of Christ is dying or going down. It does not matter which church is doing well or not doing well. Once I am alive and happy and eating and doing well, to hell with everybody. No. Part of the indices for spiritual maturity is the ability to incorporate upon yourself the burden of the body. Even if it works well for you and the body cries, you must join them in that tears. It is the victory of the ability to hide your individualism so that the corporate body advances. Are we still together? The error of indifference. And then the third error that has plagued the body of Christ is the error of imbalance. Imbalance. Incomplete truth. Exaggeration of spiritual truths beyond their coordinates of relevance. That's a serious problem. Now, in the construction of this building, it matters how everything was arranged. If you have a foundation and you have a zinc, immediately afterwards, you don't have a building. There will have to be blocks built first, then zinc comes. You see, imbalance is exaggerating truth beyond its boundary of relevance. Every dimension of truth has its jurisdiction of applicability to profit the body. Truth can destroy. Just because it's truth does not mean it will always bless. I want to be sensitive. God is opening my eyes and I'm sensitive. I'm seeing the spirit of prophecy. There are people, I don't just mean to prophesy. It is a dimension of the spirit of revelation that is coming upon people to open them up, particularly to scripture. This is a grace that I'm seeing, and the Lord is asking me to stretch my hands. You don't have to stand, inside, outside. In the name of Jesus, by the spirit of grace, I declare, may this grace and may this unction of the Spirit come upon you right now. Take that grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, please help them. Help them, please. In the name of Jesus, I decree, outside, inside, there are some of you who, as I'm teaching, there is a call. There is a dimension of grace. God is calling you. Accuracy in communication. Your eyes are being opened to begin to comprehend spiritual things. Drink of that well. In the name of Jesus, it's an ancient well. I declare by the Spirit of the living God, drink of that well. that opens your eyes and opens your ears to see and to hear.
Holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty. My life is full of your glory. Holy, holy, holy.
Shalina Tosiada. I'm seeing a wind just coming to where the ministers are. There are three of you. I just saw light. It's a grace that is sweeping you across. I don't know who those people are. Three of you. This is what I saw in the spirit. Take that fire. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God. Help them, please. Three of you. I just saw light coming upon you. This is a grace that makes for spiritual illumination.
Holy, holy, holy.
Pray in the spirit in 1 minute. You are immersed in a grace that will change you. Skatandas kaparesha tebrenda katosia, ebrakata kataparantas katabala katos, shadaman shanantas katabakos, ebrakatoso toparusia tahas kataba, eleparutas katabagatia. Come up hither, he says, and I will show you. Come up hither, and I will show you the things that must be thereafter. Shadete samarata katabaratusia. Shkadabelen toskida. There is oil coming upon this woman. This woman you are holding. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing oil coming upon her. May he shift you, madam, to new levels, superior dimensions in the spirit. Alante shadash kada shabranda gada balakata praskade beketesh shilibaratu sazia handekate balakusiata. Please be seated if you can. Shalas sendeba shalakrus kebada arando selebakato shelebrando serehash. Helandas Kedibalusa Brigadier. My head, you have exalted like the horn of a unicorn. And I am anointed with fresh oil. Your head is exalted like the horn of a unicorn. You are anointed with fresh oil. Help them, please. Tela tabasukata, reketeskete parutosya. Your head he has exalted like the horn of a unicorn. I am anointed with fresh oil. Part of the meeting. We're not wasting our time.
Oh, 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 oh. Hey, hey.
Listen, many of you may not know what is happening to you. is a baptism. You are being immersed into dimensions in the spirit. You came for an apostolic conference. There is an immersion that is happening to you. You will never, never be the same. Never be the same. It says, now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, it says, there is liberty. The Lord is lifting you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Two of you hold your hands. This man and this man. Two of you hold your hands. I'm seeing something in the spirit like rain coming on you. Two of you, lift your hands. You will take that grace and you will never be the same. Take that grace now. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will drink of that well and you will never be the same. I don't know what it is about these two gentlemen, but in the name of Jesus, you step into a new dimension and a new season in the spirit. We're going to be seated shortly. Please sit down. There is a gentleman and a lady that will run out now by the spirit. Whether you are an usher or not, just hold them, bring them here. I want to prophesy to them. Wherever our time, the hand of God is coming upon them. You just hold them, guide them, and bring them out here. I stretch my hands towards you in front. In the name of Jesus, let this grace take you to dimensions untold. Realms in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, realms of grace, realms of illumination.
Taking the pain and the sorrow away, you've given me peace undeniable. There's no need to cry, 'cause you're always with me. You're my Father, my everything. Yeah. Oh, man. Lord, you took my shame away, and then you gave me joy. You're my peace, my melody in the center of the storm. You gave me a brand new song to sing to you. That's why I will lift up my voice and sing. Yeah, yeah. Please sit down. Just sit down if you can. Just sit down if you can. Just bring that man for me on green suit. This man on green suit.
My God, we're still teaching. Who is Neka? I'm hearing the name Neka. Is there someone with that name? Neka. That's what I'm hearing. Neka. You're wearing like a blue dress with a dark hair tie. Is there someone like a blue dotted dress? What's your name? Madam, I want to pray for you. The Bible declares that every tree that has not been planted by God, that tree will be uprooted. I stretch my hands and I declare, we are still teaching, but let the reign of evil out of her now, in the name of Jesus. But I'm seeing the grace of an intercessor come on you. There is a grace for prophetic intercession. I release that grace upon you. You take that grace in the name of Jesus, the capacity to travail in the spirit until you birth deep realities. My friend, this gentleman, who is Austin? I'm hearing a name, Austin. Who is that? Austin. We're going to sit down wherever we can stop tonight, but the Lord is ministering to me. I'm hearing a name, Austin. Who is that? Austin. Austin, you are wearing brown with something like a dark brown. You are not very tall. Is there someone like that? What's your name?
Austin.
Austin. From where?
From Eboyin.
You're from this state?
Yes, from this state.
Do you know him? Does anybody know him? I want to pray for you. The Lord wants to take away the spirit of death from your life and your family. You believe that? In the name of Jesus. I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of death, let it come to an end right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. There's someone in the overflow, just one gentleman, is going to start running by the power of God. Please hold that gentleman and bring him here in the main auditorium. The overflow outside. We are going to be seated shortly. My friend, let me pray for you. Look at me. What's your name?
Eze Enoch. Enoch, Eze.
Enoch. I want to pray for you. There is a prophetic grace that is upon your life. Listen to me. God is raising you as a savior over your family. I don't know you, but I want to pray for you. Father, let this gentleman step into that grace. Mighty manifestation of this grace upon your life. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, you will never be the same. Please sit down. Let's just have a few minutes so that we can honor the curfew and rush back. My goodness. Please sit if you can. Your life will never be the same. Please bring the gentleman outside. Let's continue. Let's tie up something and finish it. We're examining the body of Christ. So the error of apostasy, the error of imbalance or indifference, and the error of imbalance. And listen very carefully. As powerful as these issues are, there is one central cause for most, if not all of them. Please pay attention. Apostasy is a child that came from a mother. Indifference. Let the yoke of witchcraft, this is why the Lord asked me to call him, I break the yoke of witchcraft right now. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ. That which has been there for many years, I declare by the Spirit of grace and by the blood of the eternal covenant, it comes to an end now. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will be amazed. See how doors just begin to open for this family. You see, the truth is that every challenge is at the mercy of the grace that confronts it. Praise the name of Jesus. Can we tidy up something now? Let's not be distracted. Please, settle down. We're still discussing the word. So I said that the error of apostasy is only a child that came from a mother. The error, listen carefully, of indifference and selfishness, self-centeredness, is also a child that came from a mother. The error of imbalance is also a child that came from a mother. Now listen carefully. The name of the mother that gave birth to these three children that are destroying the body of Christ today, very carefully listen, is the absence of a term that Jesus used, and it must be introduced to the body of Christ again. It's called discipleship. Write it down. The absence of discipleship is the cause for apostasy, because there are no references from a standpoint of scripture. Most of the communication in the body of Christ is largely thoughts that were crystallized as a result of personalized dealings or opinions. It is dangerous. See, the course curriculum for the maturity of the saints is called doctrine. Doctrine is the name given to the course curriculum, the body of truth that was allocated to mature the saints. It's called doctrine. Without doctrine, there cannot be maturity of believers within a land, within a region like this, within a nation, within a continent, and globally speaking. The absence of doctrine, accurately understood and accurately communicated, comes from the absence of the knowledge of discipleship. Our concept of discipleship, even around platforms where it has been observed, is largely a communication of opinions and personalized dealings. There are doctrines that represent pillars of the Christian faith. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Paul began to teach mentoring the church, and he was introducing them that they needed to press into a higher level of perfection. But until then, he spoke about foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. Please listen. Men and women of God, please listen. There will always be trouble in any church, any region, any nation, any continent, and any civilization where the course curriculum designed by God Himself. Don't forget what we're studying. I will build my church. Men are built by the accurate exegesis of doctrine. Doctrine. A body of beliefs. It is a predefined body of truth. Now let me tell you where a lot of the errors in the body of Christ, and I speak with every sense of responsibility and humility. Let me tell you where it came from. It came as a result of the emotional connection that we have with our seasons of training. You see, when God is training you, He builds you according to the office, the mantle, and the assignment He has for you. There are certain things that will be prescribed in your period of training. It was not supposed to be an applicable thought for everybody. It was customized for the unique expression of your training. With respect to your personality, with respect to your level of alignment, with respect to your sociological context. So for instance, God can train me as a person, and based on my level of yieldedness, my level of death to the flesh, He can tell me, do not buy more than 3 cars. That would be a divine instruction. But it is not an instruction for the body of Christ. It's an instruction based on His assessment of me. He has found out that my level of stability can only manage that level of provision. That if I cross that boundary, it will give the flesh room to destroy my life. So it becomes a personalized dealing for me. Are we together now? Now, but because of the results that will come by adhering to that instruction, mentees will come and say, dear mentor, how did you command such results like this? And naturally, I will teach them what God taught me. In teaching them, they will now begin to make doctrines out of my experiences and incorporate it in Bible schools. And it will start moving from one generation to another. Before you know it, what was a personalized dealing now becomes a doctrine. So the person who was not called along my path of ministry, if he obeys that instruction, maybe God is calling him to be a kingdom financier. He will reject many blessings in his training because he's showing allegiance to the training pattern of his mentor. I hope you understood what I just said. Because of the results that we command, by reason of our personal dealings with God, we have to be careful because we are so emotionally connected to our results. What business did you do with God that just make a billionaire financial partner to come and partner with your ministry? And you can say, oh, I removed all my clothes and danced before God naked for 3 days non-stop. And the person says, if this is what happened, provided it worked for you. The person goes back to, this time his husband and wife. They will remove their clothes and dance and teach their children and say, this is a formula. Before you know it, a doctrine supported by obvious results will be created out of that experience. And any attempt to probe into the purity of that doctrine becomes an offense and is interpreted as disloyalty from the reference from which it came from. Are we together now? The course content that matures believers, all kinds of believers, regardless of the geography of your assignment, the course content mandated by Jesus, the head of the church himself, is doctrine, a body of truth. And doctrines can only be found in Scripture. The Bible is the only authorized compendium. Are we together now? That you are able to find doctrines that are consistent with the character of the Christ. It says, looking unto Jesus. See, the first assignment of a disciple is not learning. The first assignment of the disciple is to make sure you have a correct reference. When your reference is wrong, even if your loyalty is sincere, you will still be in error. Listen very carefully. Now, here and there, God uses men. It's been a fact. But I want you to know that in this kingdom, the one we set our eyes on primarily is not a pastor, is not a prophet, is not an apostle. When I came in here, I saw you people celebrate and honor me so lavishly, and I was flattered by your kindness. But can I tell you this? Every man in our best, we are still limited because we are still students in the school of the Spirit. We are also still searching and exploring the vast riches of this deity called the Christ. Listen carefully. In this kingdom, the pivot and the epicenter, the focal point of the believer's journey is Christ. if at any point there is a deviation from that reference, even if your loyalty and listening and learning is still accurate, you must have a side effect in your construction. Looking on to Jesus, who the Bible calls Alpha Omega, the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. You only follow men when you verify they are following Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That means every time you are following, you should be looking at two people. The one you are following and the one he is following. If at any point you find out that there is a deviation, you have the right and authority to say, no. My condition for followership is that you are a reference that should ultimately lead to Jesus. Please sit down. So lack of accurate and proper training and discipleship is the principal factor. I am telling you this. It is the principal factor for the limitation of the average believer. You can come, my dear people, come. All three of you. Thank you for standing. Let me use you for something. Watch this. Let's assume that these wonderful people here seek to be medical doctors. Are we together? Their first assignment is to apply to the medical school. Is that true? The moment you give them admission, they don't come with their course curriculum. No. They first come as naive but passionate individuals seeking to be doctors after 6 or 7 years. Is that correct? Now, there is already a reference approved and vetted by different councils globally, regionally, nationally. Is that correct? That vets them to be sure that they are bona fide doctors. Their assignment now is to submit to those references. There will be a lecturer who must be a doctor himself too. Are we together? Accredited. That lecturer does not teach his opinion. Just because he's a doctor does not mean he will teach ideas. He will still work with the reference. The reference was designed to produce a predictable result. Now, if they submit themselves to that body of medical knowledge, guarantee, after 6 years, their names will change suddenly. A lady who was naive 6 years ago, suddenly now you are calling her doctor. And after 20 years, the same person is now called an authority, a consultant. Why? To the degree to which she has mastered the manual and the reference. Listen, please listen to me. If the body of Christ submits indeed to discipleship through doctrine, a Christian in Ebonyi, a Christian in Kano, a Christian in US should be similar. Look at this. Sit down. Have you seen a situation where they hire consultants from all over the world? They have never met themselves. They only meet at the theater and they start surgical operations with unity and accuracy because they all subscribe to the same reference, regardless of geography. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, the Bible declares, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. Please sit down. We'll find somewhere and pray. Are we together on this? So, if a Christian in Lagos and a Christian in Ebonyi State and a Christian in Port Harcourt come together and for 1 hour they do not understand themselves. Hold on. Sit down. Remember, they have the same name. Christian, this lady. Christian, this one. Christian, this one. All under mentorship. But now something is wrong. Both of them open the Bible. You may not agree on certain things, but there are foundational doctrines. If it is Christianity, foundational doctrines are not opinions. They are not, nobody has the qualification to edit them. They are doctrines. Sit down, listen to me. Listen, that means, hold on. If this man is a Christian, if two of them are sharing their salvation story, there must be similarity in that experience. How then did you get born again? Oh, I got born again by listening to a message. She should say yes too, because that's how you get born again. The degree of deviation in our supposed perceptions of spiritual things is proof that there is the absence of doctrine, even though there is the presence of mentorship. The problem is not mentorship. There is always somebody to look up to. But the question is, what is the reference and what is the curriculum? What is the course content? Because the narrative we have in the body of Christ is that once you are not mentored, it makes it look like, oh, you must be mentored. And so the devil said, fine, if it's mentorship, that's all right. I will just put anybody in front of you, you just keep looking. No, it's more than mentorship. The assignment is to check, verify what standard and what reference. Listen, I can go to pray for 40 days and 40 nights and have encounters. By the privilege of God's grace, I'm a man of many encounters. This is a reality that I live in. You are out of the realm of the spirit and you interact with all kinds of superhuman entities. You've never been there, so you will not know which one is demonic or not without maturity. Just because your eyes is exposed to the realm of the spirit, you will return with messages. Today, the average believer is confused in the body of Christ. You listen to a teaching, just when you are about to stabilize your belief system, you hear another one, and now you don't know what to, you are wondering, what in the world is this? Who now is right? Who now is righteous? What then is the standard? I gave my life to Christ, but I'm still not sure of heaven. Can somebody give me an assurance? Is there something called the assurance of salvation? If yes, can I be taught? What is the formula? How can I know for sure? Watch this. I apologize if you are married. But imagine that I see this lady and I say, you don't have a womb. You are not a lady. And she starts crying and goes back to check herself in the mirror and says, I need to verify whether I'm a woman. No. Something is wrong with her perception then. Because her whole life has been immersed in the experiences that verify womanhood. And by now she should be so unshakable. If I look at her and I say, you are not a woman, it's proof that I'm not well. Not her. Listen. So, if you come and meet me and say, I am not a Christian, and I now say, wow. Or, I am possessed, and I say, wow. Or, you will fail, and then I'm confused. What was I standing for on before you arrived? Because the Bible tells us that structures can be put on two kinds of foundations. One is sand, one is rock. And the same thing can happen with both of them. But that the house that is built on the rock is the one that stands. Listen, this conference is not just to play around with revelations. It is to help us to reconstruct this foundation. Don't forget the topic, I will build my church. So we are going back to the architecture of the church in Ebonyi State. The church in the east. So that by the privilege of God's grace, we find out, where did we miss it? So that we can return and say, Lord, help us mend this. Then we can turn and say, Satan, we are built now. We are established. And we know for sure that we have become a formidable army. Not as a denomination, but as the ecclesia, the body of Christ. Are we together? The variation, the sharp variation in belief systems calls for a general overhaul and a spiritual probe of our course content. What we teach on stage, what becomes the content of the manuals that we use to mentor believers. Because according to scripture, if the administration of the life of God and the doctrine of Christ is accurately communicated, then there shouldn't be too many things, foundationally speaking, that should be different in our spiritual experience. It's when we now get into the weightier matters of the spirit that has to do with God's personalized dealings, then you can now share your experiences and still submit those experiences to the authority of scripture. According to scripture, the Bible says that even God exalts his, in your Bible, that he exalts his word even above his name. You know that. It's in scripture. The highest reference, greater than prophecy, greater than visions. If I don't care whether you go to heaven and return. Scripture is the reference and the standard. And if there is an alteration on that pattern, there will also be a lopsided build-up of believers. It's the reason why the average believer today is not powerful. It's the reason why many pastors, men of God, do you not see the kind of burden that is on us from members? The men of God are dying early because most of the things that the maturity of the saints should have done to give the men of God rest so they can focus on the ministry of the word, they are still doing it. You are counseling the same members for 20 years from morning till night. After every service, the same people every week, they are waiting. Don't feel insulted. It's proof that a measure of growth is not yet being administered. So the average man of God, after a powerful crusade, you preach and there is such a harvest of people. Now you bring that harvest. The pastors under you may not even be sound spiritually. You yourself, you are still trying to figure out your left and your right. The many myriads of believers that came from that crusade ground. Now you have 300 souls. No accurate discipleship system. You know what happens? When the harvest starts rottening, you will have problems in your church. Because those people come from those crusade grounds. They've encountered Christ, but they've not been transformed. So the old man is still alive. You are supposed to hurriedly start that process of transformation. Otherwise, when you pile people like that, after 5 months, just because the person is 5 months in the church does not mean he has grown. You now give him an appointment. You are the head of, keyboard. You are the one who will sing. You are the one who will do this. And you will see a marketing of flesh, disjointed. You will see that there is a sharp deviation in divine patterns. The man of God stands to preach, and the oil on your head is as if God did not call you, because the atmosphere was so scattered from opening prayer until the time you are standing on stage. You are struggling like a plane trying to move through a hazy weather. There is no clear spiritual atmosphere to communicate the word. Men of God, the more we mature the believers, the better for us. The fact that there are piles of people disturbing you and placing a demand on petty spiritual things is not proof that you are anointed. It's proof that your lifespan, you will soon die. I am telling you, there is a technology for long life. Choosing it is just one way. You must walk in keeping with the truth. That was the advice that Jethro gave Moses. I should be able to hear a testimony that this lady, 2 years in my church or my ministry, by the word my does not mean ownership, it just means stewardship. Are we together? So, 2 years. What should I teach this lady? Can I call you now at random? Look at this. My friend, come. Let me use you. At least you fall under the anointing 30 times in the course of this meeting. Watch this. Now, look at this gentleman. Let's assume this gentleman just got born again. Can I call any believer at random? Come and give us a rundown of the course curriculum for his maturity. Come and talk to us. What is the first topic? Followed by which one? If you give birth to a baby and you meet a teacher, the teacher can tell you how the baby will grow. Is that true? You go to kindergarten, is that true? And there is a course content. The teacher can give you a guarantee and say, keep your baby in my school. In 6 months, the baby will start speaking well. your own baby, you'll be surprised that your baby is speaking as if he was born in US, because he submitted to a predefined system. So if someone gets born again this night in this crusade, the question is not that the person got born again, and we return after 6 months and say, where is the person who got born again in May? And he says, this is me. And I say, what has happened to your life? And he can say, this is what I've learned. I have learned this, I have learned that, I know this, I know what to do with demons, I understand kingdom service, I understand prayer, I understand the place of the word, I understand how to crucify the flesh, I understand spiritual authority. After 6 months, you may still come and find him becoming a worker. And then you say, my brother, how are you? And while the man of God is preaching and finish singing in the worship team and be outside, he's not listening to the message. He's outside at the back of the church and he's just laughing and says, this crusade, this man of God is powerful. This is the guy that got born again. Now, very soon he will be the one training the choir members. What is the content of his understanding that he will give it to them? He prays for 5 minutes, he's sleeping because he has not had a revelation of prayer. Prayer is not just what you do, it must be taught. The disciples said, teach us to pray. Attacks upon this man because his spirit man is lean, because he has not yet ascended that level where the flesh is dead. A spirit can possess his faculties and use him to destroy the work of God in the same church. Are you seeing now? And after 5 years, you see that there is no progress, there is no profit. Soul winning, zero. He does not even understand. Baptism in the Holy Ghost, you cannot send someone to him and say, please, I am busy, I'm going to be with the Lord for 3 days. All these people who got born again, get them filled with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't even know what to do. He doesn't even really understand what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Must go back to our course content. We must go back to what we are teaching. I'm saying this with every sense of responsibility. Most of what we teach in the body of Christ are just topical expressions of scripture that just happen anyhow. What have I not taught? It's good to learn something about faith. And then we go on YouTube, or we go on some faith enter. All the messages, short a few scriptures, come out, and then we teach. There's nothing wrong with it. But if that becomes the only template, we're in trouble. Are we together? So you find out that believers are learning truths, but these truths are not sequentially arranged. You've heard me say it. It is not every truth that blesses. The truth must be arranged in a way that profits the believer. If this guy just gets born again and his next message is prosperity, with flesh still being alive, when this guy becomes a millionaire and the flesh is not crucified, from you, the man of God, and then the members of that church, he will buy the loyalty of people to the manifestation of flesh and destroy the work, because he does not understand the concept of kingdom advance. He will give you 1 million and cause you trouble of 1 billion. Are we blessed? I will build my church. I will be church. Once upon a time, there was a young, timid person called Peter. Jesus went up the Mount of Transfiguration with them. He began to learn, began to see all of these things. There was a time they could not perform any miracle. They were still students in the school of the Spirit. Jesus was so passionate about inculcating knowledge in them. When he resurrected in Acts chapter 1, he did not even have time to celebrate and say, I'm alive. He said, hey, where are you? All of you, let's return to the class. In 40 days, I will be leaving and the Holy Ghost is coming. There are still things we have not finished. And he said, come to the class. Jesus, your Jesus. There are few times you see Jesus doing impartation in his lifetime. It was mentorship, lectures after lectures. Your people say this, but this is the way in the kingdom. Wow, we're learning. This is a hard thing, oh, Oh yeah, let's repeat the lecture again, since you did not understand. And he would teach it again. By the time Jesus finished the lecture, after 40 days from his resurrection, he said, all right guys, I have taught you enough. You are ready to take the world. And he levitated in their presence. They were all gathered, waiting for the empowerment. Empowerment is useless until there is sufficient knowledge. Knowledge is what gives credence to empowerment. Anointing people anyhow is like someone who you gave a brand new car and filled it with foil. And the person drives and the car is just swerving around the road. It will not take long. There will be casualty. He will kill himself and kill others. The credence of empowerment is sufficient spiritual illumination. So you are able to dispense the anointing with balance and understanding, because there is scripture that supports you. And then you are also not able to delve into error. You see, if you are sound in doctrine, if your eyes are open in the realm of the spirit, you will be able to judge all things and then screen what you see from the lens of doctrine. And you know what is worthy of bringing down to this realm and what is worthy of being of communicating to people. Thank you. If I watch this, if God opens my eyes again, let me use these two people and we'll pray. Let's assume this is a husband and a wife. Watch this. Let's assume that God opens my eyes as a prophet and I see a spirit standing behind this lady. You see now, there is an oppression, there is a spirit. My vision is correct, but my interpretation and the blessing or the curse that comes from it does not depend on the vision again. It depends on my soundness of scripture. Number one, if I know that God has given us a ministry of reconciliation, I know that I must interpret what I'm saying in a way that does not destroy this home. That already supports what I will say or what I will not say. Number two, let's assume that these people are pastors, the pastor and his wife. The Bible says, do not rebuke an elder in public. That means announcing this, it will hurt the loyalty of the members to the pastors. I would rather see them in private rather than announcing it in public. Are you seeing how the soundness of doctrine is helping me manage what I saw? I can see something and say, I say my mind. But because there is no balance of scripture, you will end up hurting the work. And yet Jesus is not glorified. He's misrepresented through the inaccuracy of your spiritual understanding. Are we blessed tonight? Thank you. Thank you. I will build my church. Means I will deliver the blueprint for the architecture. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, let's go to Colossians, just one scripture. Colossians chapter 1, to wrap up for tonight. Apologize for the time. Please do not miss any of the sessions. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 28. Paul was mentoring the church in Colossae, and this is what he had to say. Please help us, media. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. I wish we had King James. He says, which we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man. The word perfect there does not mean blameless. It means mature. Present every man mature in Christ. This is the assignment of the leaders, the spiritual leaders in every territory. You have an assignment to, number one, be involved in the global harvest, to bring people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. Please keep that scripture again. We are not done. That when you have it like that, the next verse, Paul said, to this end also, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. To what end? To the end that will present first our churches, then Ebonyi State. Are we together now? That means a time should come when you step into Ebonyi State, or when you step around the east of the Niger, at random from the communication of men, believers, you should be able to see the extent of the labor of the spiritual leaders over the people. When I was a child, the Bible says, the litmus test for childishness, remember, First Corinthians 13. When I was a child, three things. Number one, I spoke like a child. So the speaking of God's people should be cultured through doctrine. They understand that where the word of a king is, there is power. Are we together now? Number two, I understood like a child. So the average believer in a bus, at a shop, in a school, in parliament, should be able to communicate a level of spiritual understanding that shows that you have gained stature and balance. And then number three, I acted like a child. Your action, it should be void of selfishness. It should be that which becomes, you have put off the flesh, and now you have put on Christ, like the Bible says. Listen to me. Christ is the builder of the church, and he remains the epicenter of that strategy called the ecclesia. However, the way he builds the church, listen carefully, is through the instrumentality of gifts that we call men and women of God. Listen very carefully. Jesus builds the church, it is true, but he builds that church through the instrumentality of men and women of God. They are called gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, you read from verse 10 down to about 12. The Bible says, he that ascended, he was the same that first descended. Is that true? And the Bible says, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. The gifts are not talents. The gifts are men. He gave men to men. The men that he gave, some apostles, listen carefully, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, that these five or fourfold, whichever you want to look at it, they have the assignment, listen carefully, the assignment to equip or mature the saints. They are the ones mandated with the spiritual responsibility to disciple, using the course curriculum of doctrine to disciple the saints. Are we together? That the saints now discipled will come into the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. We'll stop here for tonight. Are we together? Tomorrow we are going to now examine these gifts that mature the body. Please rise up on your feet and let's pray.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Let it be so.
Amen. Amen.
We're praying now.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please, when you go back home, I want you to go back on YouTube or whatever social media platform this was broadcasted on and listen again. If you can download the teaching, do so. Save it and listen to it again and again until it sits in your spirit, because God is building us. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you in the name of Jesus Christ.